The night which our Lord was betrayed, earlier on he had a supper with his disciples. And he was telling them that he was going to go away. He was not going to be with them anymore. And that he was going to be delivered to the chief priest and then be crucified. And Peter said, "Lord, if I have to go to prison with you and even to death, I will not deny you." And Mark 14 says all of the disciples said that, but evidently Peter was the spokesman. He was the ringleader in that. And shortly after that supper, they went over the brook Kidron and they went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there Jesus went away from most of his disciples. Peter, James, and John were the closest to him. And he went about a stone's cast away, and he prayed three times to the Father that if it was possible for the cup to pass from him. And then after that, Judas comes with a band of men, and Peter draws his sword, and he is going to fight for Jesus. He was trying to make good on his words that he was willing to die, but he was going to choose the circumstances in which he was going to do that. And so he begins to hack away, and he cuts off the servant of the high priest's ear. His name was Malchus. And Jesus tells Peter to put up his sword, and he heals Malchus's ear, and the people come to Jesus, and Jesus freely gives himself to be arrested. And the Bible says that all of his disciples forsook him and fled. Now, that doesn't mean that his disciples went home to their places of abode and didn't think about him. That just means that they weren't right next to him. They didn't count themselves with him. We know, for instance, that Peter followed afar off. And another disciple, probably John, let him in to the palace of the high priest where they took Jesus. In that palace of the high priest where Jesus was being questioned by Annas and Caiaphas, there was a courtyard there, the Bible says, that Peter went into. And you have to remember that this was a dark night and it was a cold night. And so there was a fire of coals there lit in the courtyard. And Jesus is just inside the palace there. And Jesus wants to be close enough to hear what's going on with his Lord, but he doesn't want to be identified as being one of his disciples. And he wants to be near the fire because it's warm there, but he doesn't want to be too close so that people know who he is. And so as he stood there warming himself by the fire, one of the women who kept the door, Luke 22 verse 55, says that she beheld him. That is, she really earnestly looked on him, it says. She really gazed at him and looked at him intently. And after she gazed at him a little while in the light of the fire, she said, "You're one of this man's disciples." And he denied and said, "I'm not." And then another woman came and asked him and said, weren't you with him? Aren't you one of his disciples?" And he denied a second time. And the Bible says that he went out into the porch. He left the fire. You see, the heat is getting too much for Peter. And Luke's account says that after about an hour, one of the kinsmen of the high priest, John 18 says, who was a kinsman of Malchus, who had the ear cut off, saw Peter, and he says, "You're one of this man's disciples. Didn't I see you in the garden?" And Peter begins to curse and to swear and say, "I'm not." And they say, "You are one of this man's disciples because your speech betrays you." Evidently, the Galileans that were from up north had a certain accent. And because they were down in the south near Jerusalem, Peter's accent betrayed that he was from Galilee and not from that part in Jerusalem. And so Peter denied the Lord three times. We know this very famous story, but what I want to point out this morning is this truth, that Peter had not gotten close to the fire, they would not have seen his face, and his faith would not have been tested the way that it was. And so it was because Peter's face was seen in the light of the fire that they began to ask him those questions, they began to challenge him, and his faith was tested. And on this occasion, his faith failed. But that doesn't mean that Peter was a failure altogether. In fact, we find that he was the one who was the keynote speaker in Acts 2 on Pentecost Day. And he winds up being one of the most prominent members of the church, especially when Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John are written. Jesus you know, Jesus' account of his life and stuff, those were written several years later, and Peter is probably one of the most prominent members of the church. And so even though Peter fell flat on his face here, that does not mean that he gave up and he said, okay, I'm never going to identify myself with Jesus again. I'm never going to put myself into a situation again where I am challenged and I am tested like I was. No, he did. He put himself close to the fire again and again. In fact, later on, he said in 1 Peter 1, verse 7, that's what we have to do as Christians. Our faith has to be tested as gold that perishes through fire. And so what I want to ask you this morning as we consider this is this. Can you stand the heat? Can you stand the heat of being close to Jesus, of being counted as one of his, as growing in your faith? You see, if Peter had stayed out in the dark, if he had stayed in the shadows, people wouldn't have pressed him as much. And as we live the Christian life, we can try to hide out in the shadows, and we can try to stay in the cold, and we're going to be challenged, but not as much. But if we get into the thick of things, if we get in there near the fire, we're going to be challenged all the more. And what Peter says to us is, even though he's gotten burned a few times, even though he's fallen flat on his face, Peter is a great example of this fact, that God's church is not based on people being perfect, but people who get up and try again, and people that are purified by the fire that God has set for them. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, Peter talks about how our faith is like this. He says, wherein now you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, verse 6, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. It's just a part of the Christian life. You have temptations, you have trials. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor at the glory at the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why should we get close to the fire this morning? The reason is this: it will all be worth it when Christ comes again. It'll all be worth it for us to be purified into the people that God wants us to be. A refiner lights the fire and he puts that metal through it in order to heat that metal up until it's glowing hot. And the reason he does that is because different metals and different substances have different melting points. And so if he heats it up to the right temperature, he can separate the impurities from the pure, precious gold that is there. And that's what God does with us. He is a refiner who heats us up and sometimes makes us pass through the fire of trial and temptation so that he can remove the impurities in our lives and he can see his face in us when he's done with the process. Isaiah 48 verse 10 says about God's people, and it's true of Peter, it's true of us today, "Behold, I have refined thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction." And so we're asking the question this morning, can you stand the heat of the fire that God has prepared for you? And I'm encouraging all of us to get as close to that fire as we can. Can you stand the heat of increasing your faith? I want to look at Peter's life, and I want to look at what he says in the epistle of 1 Peter and see if we can follow those footsteps, if we can be refined in the same way that Peter was. You know, in verse 9 of 1 Peter, he says, receiving the end of your faith, that's the goal of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. We ought to be growing in faith. And in chapter 1, verse 21, he says, who by him you do believe in God, that raised up from the dead his Son and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. How strong is your faith this morning? It can be stronger. But every time you set out to make your faith stronger, you're going to be tested, you know? You remember in Matthew 14, when Jesus walked on the water out to the disciples, and there was one disciple who walked out on the water with Jesus. The only person who has ever walked on the water besides Jesus is Peter. Peter got out of the boat, and he was walking. And so Peter takes this step to increase his faith. But when he does, he sees the winds and the waves and how boisterous the storm was. I suppose a storm at sea looks a little bit different when you're walking on it on foot rather than being up in a boat where you're kind of a little more at a safe point, safe advantage point. And so Peter, because he takes his eyes off Jesus and looks at the distressing things around him, he begins to sink. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says that we ought to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And so we have to continue to look at Jesus and have faith. Whenever you step out in faith, maybe it's giving more, maybe it's praying more, maybe it's doing something that you haven't done before in your faith in Christ, you're going to be challenged. It's going to be difficult. But if you make it through the challenge, be good. So, yes, Peter was rebuked by Jesus for sinking. And he says, oh, you of little faith. But I want to tell you this. He's the only one that stepped out of the boat. And so you, as a disciple of Jesus, might take a step in your faith that other people around you are just looking at. Maybe they're still in the boat and they haven't taken the same step. And maybe there's criticism that's going to come your way. It's all worth it. It's all worth it in the end if you do it. Because your faith will lead to the salvation of your souls. This man, Peter, even though he sank, he was the only one who got out of the boat. He was the one who kept going and kept challenging his faith until he was what God wanted him to be. Can you stand the heat when it comes to being holy? In 1 Peter, we have here this idea of holiness. Verses 14 through 16, he talks about how we ought to be a holy people, how God says, be ye holy, for I am holy. In chapter 2, verse 9, it says that we are a holy priesthood. When you try to be holy, that is separate from sin, and you try to make a difference between yourself and the world, there's going to be some challenges that are coming your way. When you no longer will participate in certain activities, or you won't go to this movie with your friends, or you won't be at this place, there's going to be some challenges that come your way if you try to live a holy life. I think about a thing that Peter passed, a test of his faith that he passed in Acts chapter 8. You remember Simon the sorcerer was baptized, Acts 8:13, and Peter and John, who were apostles, came down there to Samaria to lay their hands on the converts, so that they might receive those miraculous gifts of the Holy Spirit. Well, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered Peter some money and said, give me this power that on whomsoever I lay my hands, they may also have this gift. Now, I want to remind you that just a few chapters earlier, in Acts chapter 3, when Peter was healing that lame man at the beautiful gate of the temple, you know what he said? And this is true of preachers, right? Silver and gold have I none. He didn't have much money. And here Simon the sorcerer is offering him money. Now, is Peter going to give in to that, or is he going to be holy? Peter said to him, your money perish with you, verse 20, because you have thought that the gift of God might be purchased with money. You have neither part nor lot in this matter. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Peter was a holy man. And he was not going to be bought off by Simon the sorcerer. So when it comes to you being holy, can you stand the heat? Can you get close to the light? What about when it comes to the word of the Lord? You know, there are things in life that we might think about ourselves, but the closer we get to the word of God, the more we're challenged. Jeremiah 23, verse 29 says, is not my word like a fire? God's word is a fire. Psalm 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. God's word is a fire that shines light. It shines light on the issues of our day. It shines into the very depths of our soul. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says that the word of God is sharp, powerful. It's quick, it's living, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The sword of the Spirit gets down into your very soul. It shines light into the depths of your soul. And so I might think, well, you know, I'm a pretty honest person, but the closer you get to God's Word, the more you're going to be challenged. Are you really honest? Or we might say, well, I think I love other people. The more you study God's Word and more you try to apply it to your life, the more you're going to ask yourself this question, do I really love other people? Or I might say, I'm a fair person. I'm fair to people. Listen, the more you look at God's word, and the more you let that light in, the more you're going to say, am I really as fair as I think I am? You see, the Bible tests us, and it will challenge us, and it will make us into what we ought. You know, there are a lot of people that say, well, I just don't want to know about that. Now, ignorance won't save. But there are a lot of people that won't even get close to the fire of God's word. And so in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, Peter says that you ought to desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That is, get close to it. Get close to that fire and be challenged and be purified by it. There were several occasions where the word of the Lord rebuked Peter. You think about it in Matthew chapter 16, where Peter seems to be doing so well, when Jesus asks, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. But after Jesus promised to build his church there, in verses 18 and 19, he goes on and he shows his disciples how he must suffer and how he must die. And Peter, instead of being the disciple, begins to be one trying to rebuke his Lord. He says, Lord, far be it from you to ever do this. Lord, this will never happen to you. And Jesus turns around and says to him, get thee behind me, Satan. That is what Peter was doing. What he was trying to convince Jesus of was really a temptation from Satan. And so he's rebuked on that account from the word of the Lord. Or you think about how later on in Matthew 18, when Peter says, Lord, how often shall I forgive my brother? Seven times? You know, the religious leader said three times, so certainly seven times would be enough. And Jesus says to Peter, I say not to you seven times, but 70 times seven. That is, as many times as your brother is willing to repent, you forgive him. Or you think about John 13, where Jesus tries to wash the disciples' feet, and Peter says, Lord, you'll never wash my feet. And he says, if I don't wash your feet, Peter, you have no part with me. He learns a lesson in humility, in service. And so Peter learns from Jesus that if Jesus is willing to wash his feet, he ought to be able and willing to serve on that type of level with his brethren. So over and over again, he's taught these things. What about in John 21, where he's worried about John the Apostle? He says, what about this man, Lord? What's going to happen to John? When is he going to die? And Jesus says to Peter, if he tarries till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. That is, Peter, you worry about yourself. So Peter is somebody who continually was rebuked by God. But you know, it should be true in our life too, that when we're reading God's word, we ought to see that sometimes we're rebuked and we got to make changes and we have to straighten, we have to make corrections. Peter was such a great man, not because he never made a mistake, but because when he made a mistake, he corrected it. And I'm afraid that many times, the way that we try to go about life is this. Well, I don't want to do that because I might make a mistake. I don't want to get close to God's word because I might make a mistake. I don't want to take this big step in faith because I might make a mistake. Listen, you're better off trying to do that and making a mistake and correcting it than never getting close to the fire in the first place. And so, can you stand the heat of the word of the Lord? Can you stand the heat of your family? Now, we don't know much about Peter's physical family. We know he had a wife. We know his wife's mother was sick of the fever at one point, and Jesus healed her. But as far as his kinsmen, according to the flesh, the Jews, Peter had some heat put on him from fellow Jews, didn't he? In 1 Peter chapter 3, we have this idea of if you are married to somebody that's not a Christian. 1 Peter 3 says, you wives, be in subjection to your husbands, that if any obey not the word, that is, if somebody's not obedient to the word of the Lord, they may without the word, that is, without a word of exhortation, without you talking to them all the time, be won by the conversation, that is, the conduct of their wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. That is the idea that you are living a godly life before them, and when they see you, they see the example of Christ living in you from day to day. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair or wearing gold or putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. You think about how many women wear gold. And there's nothing wrong with that, but the emphasis that Peter says is that it should not be on the outward gold, but are you gold on the inside? Do you have beautiful ornaments on the inside? And if your husband can see that, then he might be won by your conduct. Well, when you obey the gospel, when you become a Christian, your family is going to challenge you. They're going to see if you're really going to live that out or not. And they can see if you're genuine or not. Well, Peter had some situations, not according to his immediate family, but according to his kinsmen, according to the flesh, the Jews. He had some situations where he was challenged along this line. You remember in Acts 2, he said that the promise was to all that are far off. That is, the Gentiles were going to be included. In Acts 10, God shows him three times an image that indicated that he should call no man common or unclean. And he says in verses 34 and 35, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Now, Peter has been shown that the Gentiles are just as equal as the Jews are when it comes to Christ. When it comes to obeying the gospel, they are equal partners, fellow heirs in the kingdom. They're not second-class citizens. And in Acts 15, when they come together to consider the matter of whether or not the Gentiles need to be circumcised and keep those tokens of the Old Testament law, Peter is the first one to stand up and say, no, they don't have to. He says, men and brethren, you know that how a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt you God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, that is, we Jews, even as they, Gentiles. And so he said clearly and unequivocally the truth that the Gentiles and the Jews would both be saved through the faith of Jesus Christ. But you turn over your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2, and Paul is writing there in Galatians 2, and he says, when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. Why? Well, before certain people had come from James, before those disciples who believed that you had to be circumcised if you were a Gentile in order to be saved, before they came, Peter would eat with the Gentiles, but after they came, he separated himself from them. And even Barnabas, a good man, was taken away in their dissimulation, their hypocrisy. And so Peter said one thing, but when it came to the heat of influence, when these other disciples came near him, he withdrew himself. And so the way that you live on a daily basis, that can have some influence on you. And your family might not believe like you do. And so they might put some heat on you. And so can you stand that? Can you, if your family is looking to see if you're really going to live these things that you say, can you stand that heat? Can you stand the heat of evangelism? I think one of the reasons why we don't talk to more people about the gospel today is this. We don't want to be involved in the controversy. We don't want to feel uncomfortable. I don't want to talk to somebody about the gospel because that's going to make them uncomfortable and me uncomfortable, and I might be looked at as some religious zealot, and so I don't want to even go there. Well, can you get close to the fire? Can you stand the heat? You know, it'll be worth it in the end. I think that's one of the reasons why we don't do this. You know, the Bible mentions in Matthew 4, verse 19, that Peter was a fisherman, Christ said to him, come, Peter, and I will make you a fisher of men. And so that's part of what we're doing today is we're trying to convert as many people as possible. I think about what Jeremiah said. You know, Jeremiah had tried to talk to people, and then he got thrown into the dungeon and other things had happened to him, and Jeremiah was just about to give up. He said, you know, this is just not worth it, trying to teach people what God wants them to hear. And so in Jeremiah 20, verse 9, he says, I'm not going to make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. He was just at the brink of giving up and saying, I'm not going to try to talk to people and give people God's message anymore. But notice, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. I could not stay. Are we filled enough with the word of God that it just comes out, it just bubbles over in us? And we can't forbear but to talk to people about the gospel of Jesus Christ because it's that embedded in our lives. It's that much of a part of us. It's like a fire shut up in our bones. And so 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, and chapter 1, verse 21, both talk about that idea. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says that we ought to be ready to do what? To give an answer to everyone that asks us the reason of hope that's in us, both with meekness and fear. And so are you ready to give an answer? Are you willing to earnestly contend for the faith, like Jude 3 says? Are you willing to talk to people about the gospel? You know, Peter in Acts 4 was thrown into prison because of his preaching. And then later in Acts 12, he was put in prison by Herod. He suffered some consequences for preaching the gospel or studying the Bible with people. Are you willing to stand the heat of evangelism? And then, are you willing to stand the heat of being involved in the church? 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter mentions how this one who had made so many mistakes in the past, yet he was qualified to be an elder in the Lord's church. He says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and an eyewitness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage but as being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you will receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Peter was an elder in the Lord's church. He was involved. Now, I think that when it comes to church involvement, a lot of times, people are scared to get involved in the church because they don't want to get close to the fire. Whether it's teaching a Bible class, whether it's leading singing, whether it's taking on a project to help those that are needy, or whether it's serving in one of these roles like being an elder or being a deacon. You know, elders in the Lord's church, they get a lot of criticism, don't they? And that's just part of the job. Deacons in the church, they get that as well, don't they? That's just part of serving and being involved and being part of the Lord's church that way. And we all need to be ready to stand the heat. And so what happens a lot of times in congregations is that there are people that say, well, I don't ever want to do that because I might do something wrong or I might even be doing something right and I might get some criticism. Listen, you're not going to ever really accomplish something for the Lord unless you're willing to get some criticism. And so I'm encouraging all of us, every single one of us that are members of the Flatwoods Church of Christ, get close to that fire. Get as involved as you can be. And don't just say, well, I'm going to stay out here in the dark. I'm just going to stay out here in the shadows. You'll never experience the joy of truly serving the Lord the best you can. And also, when judgment day comes, when the chief shepherd returns, are you going to receive a crown of glory? Are you going to be that precious gold that has been refined by the fires of trial and tribulation and testing of your faith? Are you going to be somebody that never got close to that, that always stayed back in the cold, back in the dark, and never tried to attempt anything for the Lord? Can you be somebody that can be involved in the Lord's church? Peter was an elder. And he had learned to do that from the chief shepherd. You remember in John 10, Peter was there when Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. When he said, I am the door to the sheep. You can't come in except by me. Peter knew that because in Acts 4, verse 12, he says, there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And you remember after Jesus had been resurrected from the dead, he came to Peter in John 21. And Peter had denied him three times, but three times Jesus asks Peter this question. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love the Lord? Get involved. Be willing to stand the heat. And then finally this morning, can you stand the heat of being baptized. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 tell us that just as Noah was saved by water, that's a type, that's a copy of New Testament baptism. The like figure, whereunto baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Maybe you know this morning that that's what you need to do. Maybe your conscience is prompting you that you need to respond to the Lord through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. Now, let me tell you this. When you're baptized, that doesn't mean everything's just easy. You remember when our Lord was baptized in Matthew 3? Right after that, what happened? He was driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. When you make the commitment that you're going to follow Christ and you seal that with baptism, you are put on as put on the Lord and you become a child of His in baptism, there are going to be some challenges after that. And people are going to say, okay, are you really going to be faithful to Him? But if you don't do that, you can't be saved. Baptism doth also now save us. 1 Peter 3, verse 21. And so if you haven't responded to the Lord's invitation in that way, if you haven't become a Christian through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism, we ask you to do that this morning. Maybe you've done those first things, and you've been out in the dark, and you've been out in the cold. Let me encourage you to get as close to the fire as you can. Come back and get to the close to the fire so that you can be refined and you can be the precious gold that God wants to make you into. We invite you to come while together we stand and while we sing.
Coming home, my strength.